This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Since news broke about fraternity members using a racist chant in Oklahoma, Sigma Alpha Epsilon has come under fire nationwide. As Jesse Wright reports, university officials say they haven't had any trouble with the fraternity's chapters in West Virginia.
A video showing Oklahoma University's chapter of Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity members engaging in a racist chant went viral last week. The chant includes references to lynching and says African Americans will never be members of SAE. Oklahoma University severed ties with the local chapter of the fraternity and expelled two students shortly thereafter. Following the incident, the National Chapter of Sigma Alpha Epsilon began investigating reports that chapters in Louisiana and Texas used the same racist chant.
There are no allegations that have been brought to our attention about this type of racist chant or any other sort of racial intolerance with the chapters in West Virginia.
That's SAE's National Associate Executive Director of Communications, Brandon Weghorst. Weghorst says the fraternity's leadership is committed to making sure any new allegations are investigated. Ed Cole is a former brother and current advisor to WVU's Sigma Alpha Epsilon chapter. He says since 2007, when he was initiated, he has never seen or heard of discriminatory behavior at the fraternity's WVU chapter.
For me, since that time period, I mean, we have never discriminated against anybody racially or for their gender or, you know, sexuality by any means.
Officials at West Virginia University and Marshall say they have not heard about the chant being used or taught at their universities. WVU's Dean of Students Corey Farris says when news of the video broke, he spoke with SAE's leadership in Morgantown about the racist chant possibly being taught at chapters around the country.
To my knowledge, my conversations, and certainly with the advisors of the local SAE chapter, it's not national if they're including WVU as in the United States, and I certainly consider them part of the United States. And so they were unaware of it if it's a national thing.
Marshall University Dean of Students Steve Hensley said he's aware of the issues SAE has had at campuses outside the state, but he had good things to say about the fraternity's members at Marshall.
Good guys, good students, never have a problem with them, and I just can't imagine that they would be involved in activities like that.
Farris says members of the WVU SAE chapter perform regular community service and are very involved in student government. But the chapter's advisor, Ed Cole, says members of other fraternities at the university have targeted SAE on social media because of the Oklahoma video. Cole says he's spoken with his members about not reacting negatively to the comments.
We know who we are. We know that that's not us. We know we don't do that chant. So don't acknowledge it or don't try to strike out at anybody by any means.
WVU put a moratorium on all fraternity and sorority activities following several incidents at the university in November last year. 18-year-old Kappa Sigma pledge Nolan Birch died after he was found unresponsive at the fraternity's off-campus house. Later in November, 19 members of the Sigma Chi fraternity were cited by police for unruly behavior in Morgantown's South Park neighborhood. Sigma Alpha Epsilon wasn't involved in either of the incidents, and Cole says SAE was one of the first Greek organizations to have its moratorium lifted. Cole says that's because SAE followed the procedures WVU put in place following the incidents when other fraternities didn't. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:47. Sunshine today, temperatures in the 40s to near 50 degrees, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. For Thursday morning, there's a chance of some morning snow and sleet in the south, turning to all rain later in the morning, mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures tomorrow reaching the 40s and 50s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Wells Home Furnishings, bringing style to Morgantown with a new store this spring. Learn more at wellshome.com.
A museum sits just outside of Huntington that many in the state would consider a hidden gem. Clark Davis has more about the Heritage Farm and Museum and its new partnership.
The Heritage Farm Museum and Village has been named the state of West Virginia's first Smithsonian Institution affiliate. The affiliation will allow the museum to use the resources and learning opportunities that the Smithsonian provides. Heritage Farm was founded in 1996 by Henry Ella and Mike Perry. Their idea and mission was to provide a museum-like setting that would give students from the region a chance to learn about the history and ingenuity of Appalachia. Audie Perry is the son of Henrietta and Mike, and the executive director of the Heritage Farm Foundation.
It is a tremendous stamp of approval. When you yourself want to be excellent, you want to surround yourself with excellence. And many things we try to do out here, first and foremost, is to be an educational facility. And the Smithsonian is the pinnacle of that. So we pursued an affiliation with them so we could not only measure ourselves, but also learn.
Historic Appalachian artifacts are featured in 7 different buildings spread across the farm. 30 log structures sit on the property that also gives students an opportunity to visit with animals. Perry says the designation helps cement a legacy for the farm started by his father. His father, Mike Perry, passed away just a few weeks ago. Perry says the process started in the fall by filling out an over 250-page application and submitting it to the Smithsonian. He says after waiting for a while, they inquired about their application.
They responded after a few inquiries in January, late January. So the cool part is my dad got to know of the designation before he passed away, and that was really special to him because, you know, this has been his life's passion.
Alma Douglas is the National Outreach Manager for the Smithsonian Institute. She says the partnership makes sense for the Smithsonian.
Heritage Farm is a wonderful example of the sharing of the Appalachian culture in its community. I think it's a rich educational resource, not just for the community, but also for the visiting public. We are pleased to enter into this partnership with them, and we look forward to having a productive relationship in the sharing of resources from the Smithsonian.
It's that sharing of resources that's key, according to Audie Perry, in providing local educators with more options. He says they've always wanted to provide local students with the chance to learn in a different environment. But now with the opportunity to be able to borrow materials and resources from the Smithsonian, they can help even more.
What we hope to do is to be able to be more responsive to specific teacher needs. I mean, we have a wonderful education program about what we have here, but we've never really asked the question, what else do you need, to the teachers who are bringing their students.
Perry says the relationship with the Smithsonian is also getting the word out about the hidden gem in Harveytown near Huntington.
That's part of what the Smithsonian does is allow you to tap into their expertise. How does a museum get the word out in today's society that, you know, museum isn't actually the greatest exciting word that's out there? So how do we reintroduce the world to what a museum can be?
The farm is now one of 180 Smithsonian affiliates in 45 states. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Most of us are familiar with the concept of seeing eye dogs, but service dogs do plenty of other jobs to help people. This week, we're featuring service dogs who work across West Virginia. In this first story, Roxy Todd introduces us to a service dog who helps children overcome emotional trauma and even helps them encourage them to read.
What kind of dog is Paca? Trained dog.
Paca is an English Black Labrador service dog who works with elementary school students at the Mary C. Snow Elementary School on Charleston's west side. One of Paca's roles is to help children who are emotionally in need of some extra love. Assistant Principal Jordan McBride.
Our population of students are 84% free and reduced lunch, so we have the highest poverty rate in Kanawha County.
McBride explains that Paca the dog is actually used in this school to help children who are going through some very stressful situations at home.
Our students experience a lot of trauma. Paca kind of comes in with that, that she is used as our therapy dog for students that are in need.
Watch this.
Paca was trained by prison inmates at a state prison in Kansas. After her training there, Paca came to West Virginia in 2011 to work at the Mary C. Snow School when it first opened. The money to pay for Paca's training was raised by the school's librarian, Debbie Canada. Canada also traveled to Kansas to adopt Paca and to receive her own handler training. As I walk through the library door, I find Paca stretched out on a brightly colored rug. She's relaxed but watchful.
When we come through the door in the morning, her tail is wagging, her eyes are bright. She's the most excited to be here of anybody on the staff.
Yes, so ma'am.
Paca usually senses whenever a child has been going through a difficult time and is in need of some special attention.
We have children who talk to her. We have told them that they can tell Paca anything. And they'll get down and sit beside her and just whisper, talk into her ear. We've got one little boy that'll lift her ear up like a flap. And he'll just whisper and talk to her. It is a completely objective, non-judgmental, you know, listening ear where he can say anything he needs to say. And nobody's going to look down on him for what he just whispered to that dog, you know. And we don't know what he says to her. And it doesn't matter. He feels like he's been listened to.
And Middles.
Miss Canada says that that little bit of pocket love often goes a long way to calm a child down.
I saw her step between two children who were angry with each other, and she's basically nosed in between them, you know, wiggled her body in between them. And the act of her wiggling her body between them kind of made them giggle because she looked funny trying to get between them, and it made them, and it de-escalated the situation instantly. You know, they both just started petting her and laughing about the fact she looked so silly trying to get between them.
Paca spends most of her working day in the library, but she also visits other classrooms for story time. Cindy Schumann teaches third grade, and Paca is a regular reading companion for this classroom. Today, the children are taking turns reading to Paca, who occasionally lays her head in their lap or puts her paw on their leg.
Bear opened one eye and groaned. We can be business partners, Harris said.
Paca also works one-on-one with students who are struggling with reading. Children are invited to come to the library to visit Paca, to read to her, to talk to her, to pet her.
It's a done deal.
She always answers it with a kiss, you know, a big, wet, sloppy kiss, and they think that's just the best thing ever.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
Tomorrow morning, we'll go inside one of West Virginia prisons where service dogs like Paca are trained by inmates. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Check it out. It's got a new look. You can send your comments to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.